Okay, so we're on Daf Memchet today. So I'll begin on Mem Zayin Mud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Okay, page 94, Mem Zayin Mud Beis. So Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah of Amru. So again, going over the Mishnah from on Mem Dalet. One second, let me go back to the Mishnah on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah back on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says this is five lines before the end of the Mishnah. It says. Natan lo ma'od. If let's say a buyer gave money below mashachim and payrot, and he didn't do mashicha on the merchandise, which in this case the payrot, yachzor. So either side can withdraw from the deal. In other words, the money is not effective. Aval amru, but Chazal teach us misha parami and she dora mabul midora palaga, the one who punished the generation of the flood and the generation of the Halagah, like the Migdal Babel, he says, "Huatili param mishano de main b'dibro." He's going to punish anybody who doesn't stick by his word. Okay, so now back on Mem Zayin Beis 47b, three lines from the bottom. It not good. Okay, so the Gemara says four lines from the bottom. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah of Alamumish parami dora mavul huatili parami mishano b'dibro. He's the person who punished the generation of the Dor HaMabul is going to punish anybody who doesn't stand by his word. So two lines from the bottom. Now, if you remember that yesterday, and the Gemara has spoken, there's a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. On a Deraisa level, does money work? So Rabbi Yochanan holds on a Torah level, money is a kinyan. But the Chachamim said that no, you have to have Mashiach. And Reish Lakish says that no, that on a Torah level, money's nothing, and Mashiach works on a Torah level. That's the way Reish Lakish says. So we're four lines from the bottom of Mizayin with Beis. So tonight we learn the Mishnah of Alamru Mish Parami Dor Mabul who Atid Parami Shinamei B'Dibro. That the one this is a question against Reish Lakish that the one who punished the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, is going to punish somebody who doesn't keep his word. So, if you say on a Torah level, money works. In other words, the people are entering a transaction. So let's say Reuben will be the purchaser and Shimon will be the seller. So Reuben gave Shimon money. And so now, if either side reneges, they technically could renege, but they're going to be subject to this Mishapara, this Klala. So he says, if I hold that money works on a Torah level, so but on a Rabbanan level it doesn't work, so mishumhachi chai baval. So then that's why the person who reneges is invoking this klala. He says, Av ela yamrit maod in on kono, but if you hold like Reish Lakish holds, the money is a zero. It means on a Torah level, money is a zero. On a Rabbanan level, money is a zero. Money means nothing. So if that's the case in terms of the Kenyan, so amai chai baval. So why, how does Reish Lakish explain the Mishnah? Why should anybody be subject to this aval, this curse? He didn't, he did, the all he did was give money, but money is a complete zero. It's right. So why is he the aval? So the Gemara says, Mishum Devarim. The Gemara says that he invokes this klala of Mishapara because of the oral promise that were made, that the parties agreed, that they didn't keep their word. He says, "Udvar mikai baval." His words alone invokes this din of this pala. Here, let me give you this. I'll give you this Gemara, but I need it back on request. Like right away, on call. Okay. So he says, "Udvar mikai baval." For words alone, would you invoke this klal of the aval? He says, "Vahatani." We learn in the Brisa, so the top line of Memchet Aleph, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now remember, you learned in yesterday's Gemara, the Tana Reb Shimon l'shitato holds that ma'od ar kono. He holds that money does work on a deraisa level. Reb Shimon holds. And says Reb Shimon means Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Shimon Omer, afal pi shamru talit kona dinar zahav. Even though the Chazal teach us that if a purchaser, that in other words, if a purchaser seizes, let's say somebody's selling a talit, he's selling a garment. So if the purchaser, lifts the talis, so it's konan dinar hazav. So then the seller gets the golden dinar. The ain dinar hazav konan talit. But if the money's paid, it's nothing. So that's the din. Mikoma. So the way Rashi explains is, so even though there's a mishapara involved, but that's the halacha that either side can renege on the deal. In other words, if only money has changed hands, either side could technically renege. Mishapara palagav. But Chazal teach us the one who punished the Dor Mabul, the generation of the flood, and the one who punished the generation of Dor Palaga is when they built the Migdal Babel and everybody got dispersed on the face of the earth. Stone or from the people in Stone Vamora, Umi Bayam, or the one who punished Hashem who punished the Egyptians at Yam Suf, which we're coming up now with Pesach, Huatili Paramisha. He's going to punish somebody who doesn't keep his word. If a person, buys or sells just with words, in other words, he just words alone, lo kana, ruach. If a person's chozer bo in ruach chachamim noch. So it means like this, that the Brisa is setting up two standards. If there is money involved, but this is within the sheets of the Tana Rav Shimon, if there was money that was paid, then you invoke this din of mishapara, and you don't keep it. You don't keep your word. But if money was not paid and you're just people talking with one another, then it's not a mishapara. It's just the ein ruach chachamim noch. The chachamim are not happy with you. The chachamim are not happy with you, but not mishapara. So, ba'amar Rava, anu ein lanu el. So he says. So Rava says that's all we have. In other words, you speak. That's the only thing is in ruach chachamim. So if that's the case, so according to Reish Lakish, holds that money is a complete zero. Money again. Reb Shimon the Sheet Tov holds that money is kohen on deraisa level. But Reish Lakish he holds with the other side. He says the machloket tanaim. He holds with the other tana, the money is complete zero. So it should be just Devarim Ba'alma. It shouldn't be a Mishapara. So why is there a Mishapara according to the Tana of the Mishnah? In other words, according to the way that Reish Lakish understands the Mishnah, the Tana Kama holds that, like him, that the Tana Kama holds money is complete zero. It was always complete zero. So why then does the Tana say you have Mishapara? So the Gemara says, Devarim Ve'ikah B'dayu Ma'od Kai Ba'aval. That even Reish Lakish will say, if they have words, but then there's also a payment of money. In other words, there's a maaseh involved. Even though the maaseh is not, legally significant, but there's words we speak about, it, and I do a payment, then you invoke this aval. But if you have words and there's no maot, then you don't invoke this special klala. Okay? Now, in terms of the aval, so the Mefarshim weigh in. Why it's Dor HaMabul and everything else. One thing the Torah Tumimim says is the Anshei Dor HaMabul. So Chazal teach us they would steal less than a pruta. So in order not to be subject to the Beis Din. So in other words, so like they're like sort of like acting wrongly but under the radar. So Hashem eventually punishes the Dor HaMabul. He's going to punish them. But in the global sense. You say that Kaddish Baruch Hu punishes everybody who does wrong. That's the global sense. You say the Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaPalaga. But I saw in the Tiferes Yisrael today, he wanted to say that there's like four types of motivations for Aveirot. He like different taivas, and he links them all to these different taivas. Okay, now there's a Rashi here that I want to do with you. Let's look at the Rashi. Look at the second narrow line, the third narrow line in Rashi, Kai Baval. He says, in other words, if you have the payment of money and then words, so we're both of them, then it's Kai Baval, according to Reish Lakish. Yeah. So Mishum Dvarim Shabawa Kakha Maisa, because there's words and there's Maisa involved. Aval Mao Lo Kanami Duraita. But the money is not going on Duraita level. So now Rashi gets into the Nafkamina. Let's say, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they both agree money is nothing. At the end of the day, Reish Lakish says money was nothing and is not nothing and is nothing. And Reuven says money was something, but the Chacham said the money is not an effective kinyan. So is there a nafkamina lalacha between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So the nafkamina in Isura kiyonim kideshvoda isha. So one nafkamina Rashi takes up is let's say the buyer pays money for the chefza, and the seller just takes that money and he's mekadesh an isha with it. He's been cut a woman with it. So Rabbi Yochanan habu kiddushin the midrash kanya v'didehu. So Rabbi Yochanan would say the woman is mekudeshet. In other words, the seller took the money that he got from the buyer, and he's been cut a isha, According to Rabbi Yochanan, in Achinam and Torah level, he acquired it, and the woman is Mekudeshet. Reish Lakish, lo habu Kiddushim. According to Reish Lakish, the Kiddushim are a nullity because the money, is, the whole thing, nothing happens until they do Mashiach with the Chetzah. Now, he quotes this over here in the Al Hadaf. One second. Okay. Rashi writes that there's a practical difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If the seller gives the money he received for the goods to a woman for Kiddushin prior to the buyer's Mashiach, Rashi says the validity of the Kiddushin hinges on this dispute. According to Reish Lakish, Kiddushin is not valid because Ben HaTorah, the money he used for the Kiddushin, not yet legally belonged to him, since the buyer did not yet perform Mashiach to finalize the sale. Rabbi Yochanan, however, would recognize such a Kiddushin, since Ben HaTorah, the sale money belongs to the seller at the moment that it is given to him. Because Ben HaTorah, the exchange of money, finalizes the sale. The Mishnah Lamelech discussed the reverse case in which the seller, after he was paid for an object, gives the object to a woman for Kiddushin. So let's say the seller is selling a chair and the buyer gives him $100. So, but the buyer did not do Mashiach on the chair or how he bought it. All he did was give him the $100. So we spoke about what if the seller takes that $100 as a Mekadesh Nisha. Now he says, what if the seller instead takes the chair as Mekadesh a woman with the chair, which is some. So he says, the Mishnah Lamela suggests that the Kiddushin in such a case does not take effect Min HaTorah, since as the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan, holds that Min HaTorah, the sale is finalized with Kinyan Kesef. Obviously, the seller cannot perform Kiddushin with an object is already legally conveyed to the buyer, Min HaTorah. So the Mishnah Lamela wants to say that since on a Torah level, and we follow Rabbi Yochanan, the Ma'or Konot, so the money belong on a Torah level, the money belongs to the seller, and now the chefza belongs to the buyer. So the seller can't be Mekadesh Nisha with a chair. In my example, the Chasam Sofer disagrees with the Mishnah Melech and rules that such a condition takes effect, even though in a Torah the object was already transferred to the buyer's possession. He says the Chasam Sofer argues that the seller's use of the object as a device for Kiddushin is clearly an indication he wishes to retract from the sale. So whether I say I'm retracting or I'm not going through, but if I take the money, the object that that you want to buy, and give it, that's obviously reneging, since the sages decree that a sale is not final until the buyer performs Mashiach, and they gave both parties the right to withdraw. If the seller withdraws from the sale, he can use the object for Kiddushin. So the Chasam Sofer says, no. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, everybody agrees. Again, the Mishnah said, let's go back to the Mishnah on Mem Daled Amud Aleph. We did this at the beginning of today's talk, but the Mishnah says, Natanomao, if the buyer gave money, he says, but he didn't yet do Mashiach, Zorbo. Either side can renege on the deal, technically. So even according to Rabbi Yochanan, we'll agree with that line in the Mishnah. Everybody will agree with that line in the Mishnah. So the Chasam Sofer wants to say, differently in the Mishnah Melech, that indeed it would be good Kiddushin if the seller takes the object and gives it to a woman for Kiddushin. Okay, who's your questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right, I'm going to move on. Listen, I hate to bother you, Yosef. Some Kumashim, please. Yeah, just I think one for you, one for Seth, and one for me. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, he's doing his own learning. And he's doing his own thing. But I did extend the invitation. Right, let's take a look. So I want to Yikra. One second. Let's see. Here we are. Okay, this would be page 566. 566 in the Chumash.
I
Okay.
need a parak and a pasuk. I don't have your art scroll.
Okay. Vayikra Perek Hey, Pasuk Chaf. And following. Okay, the last in the 6, 5, 6 psukim in portions by Yikra. Okay, first I'm going to do the Gemara, then we'll come back to the psukim. Okay, very nice to see you. So the Gemara says on line 10 in the Gemara, Memchen Amud Aleph. Everybody with me? Okay, we're back in the Gemara. You in the Gemara? Okay. So I'm a Rava from Anit Messiah Leil Reish Lakish. So Rava says again, Reish Lakish holds the Min HaTorah, Mashiach is Kona, and the money is zero. Okay, so I'm a Rava from Anit Messiah Leil Reish Lakish. A pasuk and a brisa support Reish Lakish. So, what pasuk supports Reish Lakish? Techiv, so, in the Chumash, which you have open in front of you, presumably, it says You see on top line of page 566, it says Nebuchadnezzar Mala Malba Hashem. So somebody he takes a false shvua. He denies ever getting a pikadon. Somebody gave him a diamond ring. And I said, I never got it. I don't know what you're talking about. And he takes a false shvua. Obit sumit yad, or there was a loan of money. And again, he lies through his teeth. Obit gazel, or he stole something and then took the false shvua. Or was shakan amito, or he oppressed his neighbor, meaning he didn't pay him his wages. Or matzabi da b'chichesh bav neshbal shaker, where he found an aveda and he denied it. It sounds like that the aveda. He says, so when he admits his aveira, he's going to give the gzela back, and he's going to give a chomesh, and then he's going to bring a special korban hasham, the hasham gzelot. Now, Chazal's Mesorah is that the hasham gzelot is only when there's a definite object that the person had, which can clearly be identified as belonging to me. So if you stole something from me, that's my object, and that's clearly identified as something belonging to me. Or I give you a pikadon, it's obviously something identified as belonging to me. If I loan you money, money is fungible, money is given the hotza'ah, so there's no item that I can point to that's right. So it's not good what you did, but it's not the din that the Torah is speaking about. Now we'll see back in the Chumash. Now the Gemara is going to try to bring a proof for each pocket. So he says here, so now the Gemara analyzes each element. Sumit yad is a loan. Am Rav Chista, don't you yichad lo kli lahalva ato. So Rav Chista says it's where that the borrower designated collateral for the loan. So in other words, I loan or Reuben loans $1,000 to Shimon, and Shimon designates an object that he has. This will be your collateral, but for some reason Shimon is keeping the collateral. He says, a shock where the person withheld wages, there's a different case. The employer withheld wages from his employee. That's the same idea. You owe money, but the money isn't identifiable. So Amrav Chista, don't shiyicha lo kli ba'ashko. It's where the employer designated also collateral. In other words, I owe you wages, and this item will be the collateral for the wages. Now, then he's building up the proof. When the Torah repeats the item. So again, look back on the Chumash. So it mentions all the Aveirot you do, right? It mentions in Pasuk Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis all the different things wrong to do. And then it repeats it. On Chaf Gimel, he says, he's got to return what he took. So he says, he's going to return the stolen item. He'll return the money that he owes. But when it comes, the Torah has a pregnant absence. It doesn't, it says loan is a big abeira if you lie about it. In other words, the person denied the loan. And yet, when it comes to, you know, the repair, it doesn't mention it again. My taima, why does the Torah not mention that? La mishum de machasra mashicha. So the Gemara says that even though the borrower had designated an item, you know, for as collateral for the loan, it was Reuben lent Shimon $1,000, and Shimon, let's say, pointed out he's got a dining room or watch. He says, and he points out the watch will be the collateral for the loan. But since Reuben, the lender, never did Mashicha on it, he never acquired it because Mashicha is the Kenyan. If you say money is the Kenyan, so then I paid you money. But here we're saying money is a zero. So that's why Rava wants to adduce proof for Reish Lakish that why does the Torah not repeat the case of the loan? Because the loan doesn't fall, you know, fit into the category that we set up till now. He says he never did Mashicha. Okay, so that's Rava's proof for supporting Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, I'm only Rav Papa Rava. So Rav Papa says Rava. Rav Papa is trying to deflect the proof. He says, Ema me'oshek u'da ahadar kra. So he says, Maybe it's included in Oshek. In other words, it says right, the employer also, so maybe the fact that the Torah does repeat it by the employer with the Oshek, that includes also the loan. So the Gemara, so he says, so this is Rava speaking, So Rava says the case with the employer is where the employee took the collateral, the wages. So the employer says, I'm going to pay the wages. And here's the watch will be the collateral for the pay of the wages. So the employee took the watch and then for some reason gave it back to the employer just for safekeeping. Right. So he says, so the Gemara says that's why Rava says it repeats the Oshek, but it doesn't repeat for the Tsumad Yad. So the Gemara says, Hainu Pikadon. If that's the case, that's the same as Pikadon. Pikadon is a bailment. So if the employee did Mashiach on it, so it's his, so now you're giving it back to me, that's a Pikadon. So the Gemara says, Trey Gavne Pikadon. So there's two types of Pikadon, fine, and that's the way it's going. So the proof is still in place right now. So Ihachi, but then Rapapa keeps arguing, Ihachi, Tsumad Yad Nami Lahadre. If that's the case, why doesn't the Torah say that repeat Sumat Yad, it should repeat the loan, and say the case with the loan is also where the lender took the collateral, picked it up, and then left it with the borrower. Same thing he did with the employer, that there was a Mashiach done. Why are you playing around? Why does that be? So he says, Yahadre Kra. So Rabbi says, if the Torah would have repeated by the Sumat Yad, Lo Tiyuftav Lo Siyata. You could say that, but you wouldn't have a question against Reish Lakish. You wouldn't have a proof to Reish Lakish. If the Torah would have repeated Sumat Yad, so according to Reish Lakish, so that case and the case of Oshek, right, then it would be the same thing. So Reish Lakish would say the case the Torah is talking about is where was the person who was owed the money or owed the wages did Mashiach on it and left it with the person. That was it. And Rabbi Yochanan would say, no, you did neither one. You paid the money, and you have a kinyan with it. That's the way Rabbi Yochanan would explain the psukim on a Torah level, ma'or kono. So you don't have a proof. You would not have a proof for Reish Lakish. You would have a kash against him. Hash lo hadre kra, but now the Torah leaves one out. In other words, the Torah leaves out Sumat Yad. He says, Messiah. So now the implication is that the way that he's going to explain the psukim, he wants to say that with the wages, so there was a designated item and the person did Mashiach on it, but with the loan, not. And that's why it leaves it out. So the Gemara says, Sumat Yad lo hadre kra, you mean Sumat Yad is not repeated again in the Psukim? He says, Vahatani, we learn in the Braisa, I'm Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says, Minayin latein ha'amur lama lamata. How do I know that every item which is listed in Psukim, Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis, should be repeated or are by implication repeated in Pasuk Hapimel. He says, So it says in Pasuk Hapdalid, anything that he lies about. In other words, it's a catch-all phrase for everything. So everything is included. But I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rav of Ravu, I'm a Rav, or both Sumat Yad, the Hishavon. So that's to include Sumat Yad for Hishavon. In other words, that indeed loan is included with the items that the person has to pay back with a chomesh. In other words, he obviously, if he borrows money, he's got to pay the money back, but does it come under these dinim, then he has to pay the karen, the chomesh, on the korban. So that's what it's saying. So he says, behed yamin lo ahadre kro. Yeah, you're right. It is technically repeated, but explicitly it's not repeated. So that's the proof for Reish Lakish. In other words, so Reish Lakish will say, the reason the Torah doesn't explicitly repeat it is to allude, or this, you know, a sensible proof, to allude to the fact that Maor are not konot, and that only Mashiach is konot. That's the sensible proof from the Braisa. Okay, who's had questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. Now, that was from the Pasuk, rather. That was the Pasuk. Okay, Matnitha Menalan. So if you remember, Rava said, I have a proof from the Pasuk and a proof from the Braisa for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish holds on a Torah level, Mashiach is konot, and money was zero then and zero now. So he says, the Tanya, Nitanan Balan Ma'al. If a person gave a coin of Hekdesh and he gave it to the bathhouse keeper, in other words, let's say maybe he's the Gizbar. In other words, he had, by mistake, he's giving a coin. It doesn't have to be the Gizbar. A person has a coin of Hekdesh and he gives it by mistake, he gives it to the bathhouse keeper. So he does an act of Me'ila. But Amarav, Dafka, Balanhud, Lo Machasra Mashicha. So he says, so Rav explained the price, he says, back, in other words, he's just giving the coin. In other words, he's paying money. So there's no act of Mashiach involved. Nevertheless, we say the coin has left the Rishus of Hekdesh by being paid over to the Balan. So Rav explains that Dafka Balan Hudla Machas Meshicha. By a bathhouse keeper, there's nothing to me to Meshoche. In other words, I'm buying a service. In other words, I'm paying for a service, for the right to sit in the shvitz or whatever, in the sauna, in the bath, the whole thing. So there, under those circumstances, the payment of the coin would be an act of me'ila. About media chrita, the machasra mashicha, but if it's something else that would be susceptible to mashicha, there was a different transaction where there would be something to do mashicha on, lo ma'al ad-damashich. So me'ila does not exist unless you do an act of mashicha.
Until the buyer
does the act of mashicha. So the way that we're understanding this price, so that seems to support Reish Lakish, that there's no act of me'ila on a derisa level, on any level, unless it's an act of mashicha, unless it's the type of thing where there is not mashicha, which is shayach. So he says here, let's look at Rashi, 10 lines from the board, what's why, dafka balan, tan demal hanotain, shem deschirit gemurahi, benetina hapruta. In other words, that's the actual, purchase, v'inichol zorbo. You can't be closer from that. She ain't kalim show. In other words, here, Rashi says, I can't renege on the deal because the deal is just to pay for the services. I'm paying for it. Okay, now the Gemara asks, 6 lines from the bottom. So we're saying that if Mashiach is Shayach, you have to do Mashiach in order to do the act of Me'ila. Bahatanya, the Tana the Sapar, Ma'o. If you gave the coin, the Hekdesh coin, to a barber, you can limit an act of Me'ila. So the Gemara asks, with Sapar, by the Mishat Tispar, right? But with the Sapar, you could pull the scissors. In other words, there's an act of Mashiach that you could do. Yeah, but he wants to say that there's. Yeah, but in other words, there is an object, to pull. That's what he wants to say. But the bathhouse is just a pool of water. So he says, Hachamay Eskinan, the Sapar Nachri, Dlabar Mashiachu. So the Gemara says that Bryce is talking about with the Sapar is a non Jew. So a non-Jew, everybody agrees Mashiach doesn't work. Everybody agrees money does work by a non-Jew. He says, Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a Bryce that supports that. The Tana le Sapar le Sapan, if a person gave the coin to a barber or a sapan, a sailor, or l'chol bali umnut, or any craftsman, lo ma'al ad-damashach, until you do Mashiach. So here, one Bryce has said, you gave it to the barber, you can pay not to Mila. One says, you give it to the barber, you do Mashiach Yimau. So kashan adade. So the two brises, contradict one another. Elav shmamina kamasapar nachri kamasapar Israel shmamina. Right. Okay. So the bottom line is: so we ostensibly have psukim seem to support Reish Lakish, although it's not insurmountable for Rabbi Yochanan to explain the psukim. And l'chora, the brisa also seems to support Reish Lakish. Now, 2 lines at the bottom, but. V'chein amar Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman is bringing support for Rav Yochanan. V'chein amar Rav Nachman, Tvar Torah Ma'ot Konot. Rav Nachman agrees with Rav Yochanan that on Torah level, the Ma'ot are Konot. Ubat Kalevi Banite, and Levi had a set of brises. We've come across this before. If you remember in the first parak in Baba Kama, where Levi had a whole set of brises, he says, remember he had a list of the Avot, Avot Nezikin. Levi had. So he says, that if the Sitone is this wholesaler, he sells large volumes of things to storekeepers. And the storekeepers, they don't have a lot of money, so they only pay a little money up front. And then they get the goods and they sell the goods as they can. And then when they get more money, they pay piecemeal to the wholesaler. So the Brisa says, that if the storekeeper gave some money to the Sitone, he commits an act. He commits an act of me'ila. So, so it means like this: that he assumes that Mashiacha can only be done if I'm Moshe all the items. Let's do the Rashi's, okay? Five, four, this to the bottom.
Here, Mashiacha is possible.
Right. All right. Or just one second. We're trying. All right. We'll explain in a minute. Okay. It's trying to prove that Ma'od are Konot under the Raisla. Okay. The Tanala Sitone Ma'al, Sitone in the Rashi, 4 lines to the bottom. Sitone Chanvani Gadol. He's a big, merchant. He says, Umocher Perot Harbe, the Chanvanim Aniyim. He says a lot of produce to all the poor Chanvanim. Venonim Loha Ma'od, Al Yad Al Yad. They give the money to him, bit by bit. Shehim Mochrim. Initially, give a small amount. Ma'al, afal gav lo mashach for the payroad, trei harbei posikim ubarakat. So he does the act of me'ila, even though he's not able to do mashicha. In other words, the underpinning of Rashi is do mashicha. I have to pull do mashicha on the whole on everything. I have to mashicha on everything. So mashicha is ineffective as a kinyan here because I can't do. I'm not even getting all the acts made necessarily right up front. He says, but I pay this token amount of money. So the money though, I do an act of me'ila if I take that money and I pay it to him. So that's the implication is the money now is leaving the Rishis HaHekdesh and going to somebody else. And that the implication is that the money is Kohen. So now turn page. Two more lines and we'll pause. Turn page, okay? Ella Kashil Reish Lakish. So that Brisa is going to be problems for Reish Lakish. Amalak Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish would say to you, Amani Reb Shimini. Reish Lakish concedes that it's a machloket tanaim where the money is Kohen. You saw that in yesterday's daf. And Reish Lakish holds that Reb Shimon and Akinami has to say, Reb Shimon holds. So Reish Lakish says that Brisa goes according to Reb Shimon. But I still hold what I hold, which is the modern not konot. Okay, who's had questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
What is this giving of proof to say since the retailer can do the shekel?
What are you trying to prove?
Trying to prove that money is konot.
That the money is konot. Yes, okay.
Can do the shekel because he's got the item.
Yeah, no, but it doesn't sound like he doesn't. Yeah, I need my article back. Okay, thanks so much. I'm sorry to bother you, Seth. Okay, so yeah, so the way he explains it here, one second, let me get it. Yeah, this is in footnote 38. He says the orders, however, were generally too large for the retailers to take at once, and since down payment was made for all the produce, the corresponding shicha is incomplete until the retailer takes all the produce. So he's not able to do a kinyan mashicha, but he says nevertheless that the misuse immediately. He says this proves that the kinyan is affected by the payment of money. So the payment of money that's the proof. So the money is an effective is kona, even though okay. So all right. So any other questions, comments, or thoughts? But
there is important.
Right. Presumably. Okay, let's go further. Okay? Okay, and then keep the bar on call. Okay. You did a good job. Okay. 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 Now, so now we're on Memchet Amud Beis. Right, on the second line. Okay. Avalam Rumi Shapar Bahulai. So again, so Chazal teaches in the Mishnah that that if a person reneges on the deal, he's subject to the did of Mishapara. So it says on the third line. So Itmar, Abayimar, Odui Modin on Light. So it was said, Abayi says, we notify the person. If you renege on this deal, you'll be subject to the whole follow of Mishapara, or the Minashmaim, they'll punish you. Rava Amar, Melat Lightin on Light. Rava says, if he reneges on the deal, then the Bezdin actually gives him a curse. The Bezdin issues a curse. And you see, it looks like Allah is like Rabbo. So Abayimar Odui Modin Alei. Abayi says we only notify the person that he's subject to this Kalah. Dichtiv Nasivim Kalah Taor. So the pasuk says you shouldn't curse an Asi, but Chazal teaches in Masechet Sanhedrin that it's not just an Asi; it's anybody. So at least that's what they had in the Art Scroll. He says Rava Amar Meilat Laitin Alei. Rava says no, that we actually curse the person. Dichtiv V'Amcha Ba'Osei Maasei Amcha. In other words, the admonition against cursing somebody is only when they're acting in a firm fashion. And if he's, but if he looked at right, so look at Rashi, third one line, but osi maasei amcha, but amcha darshin hashi, but high love osi maasei amcha. Who, if he's reneging on the deal, he's not acting like the way a Jew should act. The thief, sheirit Yisrael lo yasu avol v'gabru kazav. Remnant of Israel doesn't act like iniquitously; he doesn't speak like deceitfully. So the fact that he's reneging on a deal, he's not acting like a mensch. So he's opening himself to curses. Now, okay, now, with the eighth line down, I'm a Rabbah Manah Amin Allah. So Rabbah says it's in Achinami that the Bezdin is actually going to curse the person who reneges on the deal. So Rabbah says, how do I bring proof that I'm correct, that the Bezdin would actually curse the person? Reb Kibar Yosef, Yehavu Le'Yizuzei Amilfa. it was a transaction where Kibar Yosef, he had salt he was going to sell, and people gave him an amount of money for the salt. Right. L'sofi Yakar Milfa. So then the price of salt shot up through the roof, and he, Rav Kibar Yosef, wanted to renege on the deal. Rashi says on the second narrow line, Yakar Milfa Bratan Aksor. He wanted to pull out. So Akhil Kam is Rabbi Yochanan. So he came before Rabbi Yochanan, Amarle Zil Havlahu. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rav Kibar Yosef, I think you should give the salt to the purchasers. The Ilo Bilak Mishapara. Otherwise, you're going to be subject to this Mishapara. So he says, if you say the Besen just notifies the person that they will be subject to it, means when a Shemayim, they're going to punish you for reneging on a deal, he knows all this. He doesn't need anybody to tell him. It doesn't make sense that Rabbi Yochanan would be telling him that because he knows it. He says, the Gemara says, so what do you want to say? You want to say that Rabbi Yochanan would be cursing him. The Bezdin, if he was reneging on the deal, the Bezdin would curse him. So the way the Arsha quoted, but I looked it up today, in Tosfos HaRash, they were saying that this Rav Kibar Yosef, the way we think right now, was kind of like hoping that the purchaser, finding that the seller, would be facing this prospect of getting a klala, would themselves voluntarily pull out of the deal, because they wouldn't want to cause Rav Kibar Yosef to get such a klala, but that's playing a risky game. He says, Rav Kibar Yosef, there was, why is Rav Kibar Yosef going to Rav Yochanan? He knows the halachot. He knows, so is he going to Rav Yochanan because he thinks that now he's going to get the klala? Why is he going to Rav Yochanan? Ella, Rav Kibar Yosef, a rabon who yavile. So the Gemara says, Rav Kibar Yosef, that the buyers, they gave him like a small amount of money. Husavar kinegda hu kone. So he, Rav Kibar Yosef, thought that the purchasers, in other words, let's say the deal is for, 100 pounds of salt for $1,000, and the purchasers gave him $10, like a down payment. So he thought that their only right extends to the $10. In other words, like, right, that I'm subject to Mishapara. If I pull out of the nose, you pay me money, I'm subject to Mishapara. But if for what you pay me money, I'm subject to Mishapara. When you didn't pay me money, I'm not Mishapara. That's what he thought. He says, "Va'amarli Rabbi Yochanan, can I get kulo hu kona?" Rabbi Yochanan says, "When is can I get kulo hu kona?" So we know already that money doesn't do the kinyan, but it means that the Mishapara would apply the way Rabbi Yochanan is saying, the entire transaction, the prospective transaction, even though only a small amount of money was given to the seller, but nevertheless, the entire transaction is subject to Mishapara. So the way Rabbi Bar Yosef thought, if I give them, the Mishapara is only for the amount of salt that would be prorated for the amount of money they gave me. So if I give them that amount of salt, then I'm not subject to Mishapara. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you're subject to Mishapara for the whole salt. Once they do the deal and then you took the money, that's Mishapara for the deal. Okay, that's what we're saying right now. Any questions?
Does it matter? Does it matter? What? Does it matter if you're subject to Mishapara for a little or a lot? A Mishapara is a Mishapara.
Yeah, No. Again, in other words, the Mishnah says technically you can renege from a deal, but you're subject to Mishapara.
Right.
But he thought you're only subject to Mishapara for the amount that you've been paid for. So in other words, if I have a $1,000 deal, and you pay me $10, so the only Mishapara is on the small amount. So I give you that small amount, but there's nothing I can renege. I can do whatever I want. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, you're subject to Mishapara for the entire transaction. You got to carry through the whole transaction. You got it or not?
Right. But this leads me to another question. Is there a difference between a Mishapara on a little and a Mishapara on a lot? Isn't it the same?
Okay, Yosef says you're missing it. Anyway,
it won't be Mishapara if he lets them have the deposit for it.
Right. Well, yeah, but in other words, that's true. In other words, he's not going to have any Mishapara at all if he gives them a small amount. But the difference between the big Mishapara and the extent of the Avera, it does seem like more grievous, stealing more money than less money. Even though they were well, she had on deal, for a greater amount than a smaller amount. But key
does
is
that
here.
Affect the severity of the Mishapara?
Rav Kibar Yosef thought he's got no dinim. In other words, no mishapara, no money, no nothing. So he's free to keep 90% of the salt. In my example, that's what he thought. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you got to keep the whole deal. All right. Now,
I'm surprised that it's pretty clear cut. They give him a down payment for the entire thing. He's trying to come to get out of something.
Yeah. There.
Okay.
So Daniel says he's surprised at the time. We'll see it's a machloket. Let's see further the Gemara. Okay. Okay. Now, 20 lines down. So Memphano days. So Itmar, a Ravon, again, with this down payment, he says, Rav Omer Kenegda Hukona. So Rav says, the other side, he says that it means in terms of Mishapara, it's only. To the mishpar is only amount that was paid, and so like Rav Chiya bar Yosef thought like Rav. Rav Yochanan Amar Kenegad Kula Hukona. Rav Yochanan says no, the whole thing is subject to mishpara. Okay, so Meifei. So now the Gemara is going to ask a question against Rav. Against Rav said that the mishpar is only Kenegdo, the limited mishpara. Meifei. So we're asking a question from the following Brisa. Now here he uses Hanotein a Ravon. Here he uses a Ravon in a different way than we did before. So before a Ravon was a down payment, if you look at Rashi, the 15th narrow line, Hanotin a Ravon, Lo Dami Lahi de La'el, it's not the same, even though it's the same word, it doesn't mean the same thing as it did before. Zeinu Priyat Mixat Mao, Chikorin Iris, I don't know the French, the old French, Ela a Ravon Umashkon Liknosa de Kozerbo, Kriminin Belaz. So it means it's not a down payment, this is just an amount that was being set aside, that'll be like a penalty, a forfeiture. So again, Meifei, Hanotein a Ravon lechavero. Let's say Reuben and Shimon are doing a deal. Reuben will be the seller, Shimon will be the buyer. So Shimon the buyer says, here, I'm giving you this amount of money. He says, Va'amar lo imanicho zerbi ar voni machulacha. If I put renege on the deal, this money is forfeited to you. You keep it, you know, free and clear. Well, hello, Omer, hello. And then the seller says back to him, if I back out, I'll double over your Eravon, and I'll give you twice the amount of money. So the Tana Rabbi Yossi says those are both binding promises, according to the Tana Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara interjects, we're in the middle of a brisa, but the Gemara interjects, Rabbi Yossi the Tami da Amar Asmach the Kanya. Rabbi Yossi holds with his Shita Asmach the Kanya. Asmach is a type of promise where the person never thinks it's going to eventuality will ever occur. So, but he holds that that's a good kinyan. Asmach the kanya. Let's look at Rashi. Asmach the kanya. Haftachat guz in the Rashi. Haftachat guzma mavtich chaveru l'smoch alav loy kanomi hein kach. If he doesn't fulfill his pledge, X, Y, and Z will occur. But he never, in other words, nobody ever thinks it will occur. Nevertheless, that is binding. Now, focusing on back in the Gemara, which is continuation of the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dayo Shikne Kineged Erevono. Rabbi Yehuda says that the buyer only, it's enough. In other words, the buyer only acquires an amount, even though it was given as a penalty, it's going to double over as a sort of payment, that his rights and remedies are limited to the equivalent amount of money that would buy. In other words, whatever. Right. He says Kineged Erevono. So I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi Shimon says, focusing on Rabbi Yehuda, now he says, Shikne Kenegad Erevono. So I'm Shimon Gamliel, Bizman Shamarlo Erevoni Kon. In other words, but the buyer said, my Erevon is gonna buy me all these things. In other words, let's say they have a deal. He's trying to buy, you know, 100 pounds a week. So he says, this $10, you know, down payment is it'll be like the amount I'm giving you, but it'll also be it'll acquire the whole deal. So obviously the $10 doesn't acquire the whole deal. So that Rishon Lezion is qualifying Rabbi Yehuda. So he says you only get negative Ravon. Aval machar lo baido sadeh be'elav zuz. But if the seller, let's say, was selling a house or a field for 1,000 zuz, who parlo him 500 zuz, and the buyer gave him 500 zuz, kanah. He acquires the entire field, he acquires the entire house. In other words, he's not purporting that the payment is for the whole thing. He says, and then he'll eventually pay the rest, even many years later. But he acquires it right away. That's the end of the brisa. Now, again, we're trying to figure out Akasha against Rav, who says that Kenegdo Hukona. My love, Huadin, the Metalflint. So would it not be true that the same thing would apply with metaflin? In other words, now when it comes to karka, so karka could be acquired because of the shtar of a chazaka. In other words, with money or shtar or a chazaka. The real property could be acquired with money. In other words, even though we said that money is not kona, but that was because Shema Yomar Nisrafu Chitecha Baliyah. We're afraid that, you know, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that people will say that they think I burnt, but the property is not going to get burnt down. Real property doesn't burn. So the money is good for the real property. But we want to extrapolate from this brisa, just like the brisa says that if I'm buying real property and I pay you part of the real property, I acquire the whole real property. So the similarly, that, so my love, who did the metalklin? In other words, the stama, kind of hulukulu. So in the same fashion, with metalklin, the money is not kona. But the payment of part of it should extend the Misha Para to the whole object. That's the way he wants to make the Sushel. In other words, just like with real property, money is Kona. So I give you part of the payment, I acquire the whole property. So here also, in terms of Misha Para, I give you part of the money, but the Misha Para will apply to the whole transaction. That's what he wants to say. If that's true, then he's got a Kasha against Rav from the Brisa. So, lo. Metalflin bistama lo kani. No, it doesn't work that way. Umayshana, so why is it different? In other words, I could say metalflin mishpar is only the amount I pay, but with the karka, I get the whole karka. What's the difference? Karka is the kasva kanili mamish, kanili lakula. So karka, the money actually works as a kinyan, so he gives part of the money, he gets the whole thing. Metalflin lo kani elikiguli mishapara, but with metalflin, the payment of money only invokes the din, it does nothing. It only invokes the din of mishapara. So it doesn't invoke the din for the whole thing. In other words, it's a more limited din. In other words, it's only from the Ishapara, so we're only going to do what it does. Okay, so the point is, again, we've had a machloket between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav is involved with Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael. Rav says, that for Ishapara, it's only, you know, the equivalent pro rata share of the money that you paid. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Kenegad Kula. So we tried to ask a kasha against Rav from the Brisa, but we deflected that question. So now the Gemara says, six lines from the bottom, Lema Kitsunai, should I say the machloket between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan about whether the Mishapara applies Kineged Kulo or just Kinegdo is actually machloket tonight, as we're going to learn in this brisa. Hamalbet Chaveiro on the Mashkon, if a person lends somebody with a Mashkon, which is collateral, Benichnasa Shemitah, and then the Shemitah year intervenes. So you have to say, this is getting like that the loan became due before the Shemitah year. Otherwise, it's no relevance. In other words, so...
only loans that are due.
Right. So let's say the Shemitah year, you know, whatever, the Shemitah year, you know, is coming, but he was Mav on the Mashkon, lent with the Mashkon. So the idea is that I can't collect Logi Gos, but because it's Chasir Guvina. In other words, it was a lacking collection. But if you give me a collateral, and it was by lending you $10,000, you give me a Rolex watch, and the Rolex watch is worth $10,000, it's not chaser guvaina, so it's an exception to the dinim of Shemitah. Okay? So now, the Gemara says, Hamal v'kabir v'mashon v'nichnasa Shemitah. And Shemitah here came. Alpha p'sheinu shava el plag, even though the mashkon is only worth half the debt. So he lent him, Reuven lent Shimon $10,000. He took a mashkon for $5,000, and now Shimon has defaulted totally on the whole loan. He says, Eino Meshame Divrei Shmuel. Shmuel says that the entire loan is not released, and Reuven can collect the loan, even though Shemitah has come. Well, we'll see in a minute. Reb Yudah Nasi Omer, Imaya Mashkon Kineged Habato Eino Meshame. Reb Yudah Nasi says, if the Mashkon was equal to the entire loan, it's not released. Bimlav Meshame, otherwise the loan is released. So my Eino Meshame to Kamar Shmuel. So first we have to figure out what the price means. What does Rubin, the first opinion, what does Rubin Shmuel mean when he says that the loan is not canceled? Elema Kinegdo, if we're talking about Kinegdo, in other words, let's say the loan was $10,000 and the Rolex watch is worth $5,000. So if Rubin, one shot is, Rubin Shmuel means that the extent of the loan that's covered by the collateral is not released. So the $5,000 is not released. That could be what he means. So he says, Mechlal Dribyuda Nasi Sabar Lach Palganami Mishami. So then it would have to be that his bar Pelugda, who is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he says that if the whole thing would be canceled. So Ella on the top line, I'm in 10, I'm in Ella, mashkon tenafi lamali. So what's the purpose of taking a mashkon if the whole thing got released anyway? So Ella lav shmamina, is it not? He has an alternative shot. My enum shamit kavshalil. What does it mean? Enum shamit if the loan is not released. Enum shamit bekulo. So it means the Rosh Lila says we think that you got a mashkon for only part of the loan, but that mashkon for part of the loan is going to cover the whole loan and not release the whole loan. Umay mishamit kavshalil Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And what does Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says? If it doesn't cover the whole loan, it's released. Lahak palga the loan nakilei mashkon. Then Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would say half the loan is released. So that's the way we think we're going. So Reuven lends Shimon $10,000. He gets the Rolex watch plus $5,000, and then Shemitah comes along. So we think that Rabbi Shmuel says that none of the loan is released, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says half the loan is released. If that's the case, the point of dispute between the Tanakhama and Shmuel is followed. So Shmuel Savar, can I get Tulo Hukona? That in some way, that Mashkon, even though it's like a partial payment on the entire loan, but it makes its impact felt on the whole loan. Kineged kulo hukona. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi savar kineged hukona. And then Rabbi Yehuda Nasi holds more limited. So if that's the correct shot, the brisa, it's not identical, but we think it's sufficiently similar that the two shita would line up with Rav, who says Kinegdo Hukona, which would be Rav would line up then with Rabbi Nasi, and Ryochanan says Kinegdo Kulo Hukona, that's what we think. So the Gemara says, "Lo, no, the Gemara rejects the proof. He says, my Enum Mashamet Kamashalia, what does it mean, Enum Mashamet? Mashalia says it's not released. In other words, the original shot we thought that we rejected, the first $5,000. So he says that's not released. So then Rabbi Yudasi holds that everything got released. He says, then what's the purpose of taking the mashkon? It's just like a reminder, a memory. Like, remember, you owe me this money, and you know I have the mashkon, but it's not going to do anything for me once the shmita. But if that's the shot, it doesn't relate to our machlokin here at all. Okay, now let me just do some two things, and then that will be it.
Can we exchange this word for deposit? I mean, deposit, the way that we use it, is a partial part of money that you need, and you're going to come up with the rest of it. So today, I mean, the acceptable norm is that the deposit buys the entire thing. Why are they having this difficult time?
Again, the sod is that maod ain't no kono. Money does nothing. Money is not a kin. That's the first yisod. That's okay. Not the way that it's civil law, but it's in the halakha. So then we proceed from there. Then where does everybody go from that? The money is nothing. So where does it leave me? Okay.
We are allowing it in order to...
You're doing it, but that's not the king. Okay. Now, let me just do a few things here and that'll be it. Now, this is an interesting little piece he has here. The author, thank you so much. The author of the Truvus, this is like with keeping your word. The author of the Truvus, Chalkos Yaakov, was asked a very sensitive question. Shimon was hosting a number of guests at his house, and he asked Reuven to come visit while the guests would be at his home. Reuven's visit would accord Shimon with honor, and if Reuven did not visit, it could be perceived as though Reuven was disrespecting Shimon. So in other words, there's an inn where somebody invites somebody, and it's like a whole, like he'll take umbrage if the guest doesn't show up. Before the date of the visit arrived, another friend of Reuven invited him to join the suda for a bris meal of his son. The Ramah rules that one who's invited to the meal of the bris meal and does not attend deserves to be placed in nidui. So in other words, we don't usually invite people to a bris because that's right. So Reuven inquired about the correct course of action. Should he follow his first commitment to Shimon or should he attend the bris? So now he's got like sort of one of these spines. He like his friend invited him. The friend's going to be insulted. And he told the friend he's coming, whatever the event was. And the friend will be insulted if he doesn't show up. On the other hand, another friend invited him to the bris and then he's going to be subject. So the Chalkos Yaakov, so you, the Sfar Pshuta, you would think, go to the bris. That's what you would think. But he says, the Chalkos Yaakov answered that Reuven should not cancel his visit to Shimon in order to attend the bris. He based his decision on the ruling of the Ramah, the one who is present in the bris meal where there are unsuitable people, on a Shimon Muganim is not required to eat at the meal. Accordingly, we could assert that certainly in our case, there is no requirement for Reuven. In other words, the invitation to a bris is not absolute. In other words, the invitation to be at a bris, so like, for example, if there are people who aren't appropriate there, so then, you know, I'm not going to say it's bris. Accordingly, we could assert that certainly in our case, there's no requirement for Reuven to go to the bris mila and not honor his commitment to visit Shimon. Agreeing to visit Shimon is similar to promising a friend to give him a small gift regarding which the Shulchan Aruch rules that one who does not honor such a commitment lacks trustworthiness and is not in sync with the spirit of the Chachamim. Therefore, if a Torah scholar is permitted to skip the meal of a bris milah in order to avoid eating together with unsuitable people, certainly one is permitted to not attend a bris milah in order to not qualify as one who is lacking trustworthiness and not in sync with the Chachamim. Additionally, Chazal taught that a person must make sure to honor his word and commitment, and these reasons are sufficient reason for Reuven to visit Shimon rather than attend the bris. All right. Any questions?
Only because the time the Chachamim is just the average Jewish.
What do you mean? Which case is Talmud Chacham?
In this situation, he's saying that the reason that you allow him not to go to the breed is because there are other people who are not
No, 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 that's not what I said. He's saying that there are situations that exist in the world.
You get invited, you don't have to go.
No, there are situations you're invited to bris, you should not go because people are not going to. You should not go. So once you say that, here he's saying that there's also a valid reason not to go to bris because you made a commitment to somebody else. And then that's the way that we're saying. Okay? All right. Now, any questions, comments, or thoughts from the Zoom world? Okay. Now, let me do one more story and that'll be it. Okay. On today's daf, we see the potential consequences due to one goes back on his word. The Chazon Ish was very careful never to promise anything, ensuring he didn't go back on a promise if for some reason he could not fulfill it. Even Rav Volbi Zatzal asked him if he would be able to make it to the out of town bris of his newborn son. Chazon Ish really said, I'd very much like to come to see the yeshiva. In other words, he didn't want to say, I'm going to be the bris, anything like that. He says, I'd love to see the yeshiva. So he says, Rav Zvi Oberlander recounted how the Chazon Ish helped him in a tricky situation that seemed to require that he promise what he really could not deliver. My elderly uncle was childless, and he wanted a Ben Torah to say Kaddish. So he has an uncle, and the uncle has nobody to say Kaddish, and he wants the nephew, Bizdachon Tzvan Segur, to say Kaddish for him. It was natural that he should try to designate me to say the Kaddish, but I really did not wish to do this. As Yeshiva Bachar would be distinctly uncomfortable to be saying Kaddish, even for my uncle, when the time came. In addition, my mother was still alive at that point, and I did not know how she would feel about such an obligation. I was willing to learn Mishnah from him, however. I went to the Chazon Ish and explained that I wanted my cousin, who was not a Ben Torah, to say the Kaddish, while I would learn Mishnah for his neshama. So tell him you will learn Mishnah from him, the Chazon Ish said decisively. So I explained that my uncle was a simple person who would not understand the importance of Mishnayot. To his understanding, the main thing is Kaddish. If I tell him that I will merely learn Mishnayot, this will likely pain him. Chazon Ish had been lying in bed as I asked my question, but this he stood up, spoke in a very strong tone of voice. Forbidden to lie, it's forbidden to lie. In other words, don't say you're going to say Kaddish if you're not going to say Kaddish. He says he made this statement three times, and besides causing me to lose all interest in promising my uncle that what I had no intention of fulfilling, it's also part of powerful Yerushalayim that lasted for me for months. Okay. Everybody, let me end the recording. One second. Hold a second. 1 second.